理课堂听 class.com。
They entered the building. Scrooge saw an old man sitting behind a large, high desk. The desk was so tall that if the man had been a few inches taller, he would have hit his head on the ceiling. Scrooge cried out in excitement.
Oh, ghost! It's old Fezziwig! Fezziwig is alive again! I used to work for him.
Old Fezziwig was writing something at the high desk. Suddenly he put down his pen and looked at the clock. Scrooge saw that it was 7 o'clock in the evening. Fezziwig rubbed his large hands together, stood up, and laughed a loud, cheerful laugh. The old man was large and fat, and as he laughed his stomach shook. In a loud, cheerful voice, the old man said,
"Hello there, Ebenezer and Dick! Come in here."
Scrooge's younger self came into the room. Ebenezer was now a young man, and with him was another young man named Dick.
"Yes, it's Dick Wilkins," said old Scrooge to the ghost. "There he is. Dick liked me very much. Poor Dick." "Hello there, my boys," said old Fezziwig. "No more work this evening. It's Christmas Eve, you know. Christmas, Ebenezer, isn't that wonderful? Now, let's clean up the office quickly now," he said, clapping his hands together.
You would not believe how quickly the two young men cleaned the office. They ran around cleaning and closed up all the windows in just 10 minutes.
"Now then," said old Fezziwig.
He jumped down from the high desk as quickly as a cat.
"Let's move the furniture around to make room for the great party."
Ebenezer and Dick did this in just a few moments. They put wood on the fire and lit all the lamps until the room was clean, warm, bright, and dry. Suddenly the door opened and some musicians came in with their instruments. Then Mrs. Fezziwig, Fezziwig's wife, came in. She was as large and fat as her husband. She was smiling happily. Then her three daughters came in also. They were also smiling and happy. Everyone looked ready to dance. Then all the people who worked for Mr. Fezziwig came in. The housemaid came with her cousin the baker. Then the cook came with the milkman. Some young boys from the street came in, even though they didn't work for Fezziwig. Many people came into the warm, dry room. Everyone was laughing and talking together. Soon they began to dance around the room in groups of two. The music filled the room. Suddenly old Fezziwig clapped his hands and the music stopped for a moment.
"Excellent music and dancing!" he cried.
The musicians began to play again, as if they would never grow tired. The party continued for many hours. There was more dancing, and then there was wine, and more dancing, and cold meats, and pies, and cakes, and beer, and much more dancing. It was the happiest party old Scrooge could remember. Soon Mr. and Mrs. Fezziwig stood up to dance. They were both very good dancers, even though they were large and fat. Everyone laughed and clapped. The men went to drink more beer, and the women talked together and watched the children, who were running around the room. When it was 11 o'clock, the party ended. Mr. and Mrs. Fezziwig stood on each side of the door, shook hands with the guests, and wished them a Merry Christmas. Mrs. Fezziwig kissed all the children goodbye. Soon everyone had left but Dick Wilkins and young Ebenezer Scrooge. The two clerks went to their beds, which were in a small room in a corner of the building. All this time, old Scrooge had been watching the party and not thinking about anything else. But how wonderful it was! He laughed when the other guests laughed, and danced with his feet and sang the songs. He wished he could eat some of the meats, pies and drink wine or beer with the happy people. His heart and soul were in that room, and he remembered everything as if it were yesterday and not many years ago. His eyes were always looking for his young self, and while he watched the party, Scrooge felt as if he was young again. It was only when the party ended that Scrooge remembered the ghost of Christmas past. The little spirit was standing next to him and looking at him. The light that came from the top of its head was very bright.
"It is a small thing, isn't it?" said the ghost, "to make these silly people so happy."
"A small thing? No, it isn't," said Scrooge. The ghost told him to listen to the two young clerks talking. They were talking about how wonderful and good old Fezziwig and his wife were. Scrooge was amazed to see his younger self, how happy he had been on that night many years ago.
"You see, Fezziwig did only a small thing," said the ghost. "It didn't cost much money to have this party. Not very important. Why do you think it is so wonderful?"
"No, good ghost, you're wrong," cried Scrooge. He was speaking like his younger self, not his older self, but he did not realize it. "This party was a great and wonderful thing. Fezziwig is our employer. He has the power to make us happy or unhappy, to make our work difficult or easy, a pleasure or a pain. His power can be seen in his words and looks. They might not seem very important, but they are. He was very kind tonight, and none of those people will ever forget it. So, you see, the happiness he gave us was as great as if it cost a mountain of gold."
Suddenly Scrooge stopped speaking. He looked as though he was thinking of something. The ghost was looking at him with large, clear eyes.
"What is the matter?" asked the ghost.
"Nothing," said Scrooge.
"You are thinking of something. What is it?" said the ghost.
"No, nothing is wrong. I would like to say something to my clerk, Bob Cratchit, right now. That is all," said Scrooge.
Scrooge and the ghost watched as the young Ebenezer turned off all the lamps and got into bed. Suddenly Scrooge realized that they were standing outside the building in the cold night air. The ghost said to Scrooge,
"My time is growing short. We must be quick."
The scene changed immediately. Once again Scrooge saw himself as a younger man. He was in his 20s now. This man's face did not yet have the cold, angry look of the old Scrooge. However, it was clear that Ebenezer was beginning to change from a young, happy man to a greedy, hard man, like the Scrooge that you and I know, dear reader. There was a sharp, eager look in Ebenezer's eyes. He thought about money much of the time. He was not alone. A young, beautiful woman stood next to him. Old Scrooge saw that there were tears in her eyes as she stared at Ebenezer. Scrooge's heart jumped when he realized who the young woman was. She was his former fiancée, Belle.
"It is not important to you, is it, Ebenezer?"
Belle said softly.
"Another love has taken my place in your heart. I suppose that if this new love can make you happy and comfort you in the future, as I wanted to do, then I cannot say anything against it."
"What do you mean? What new love has taken your place?" said Ebenezer.
"The love of money,"
said Belle.
"This is how the world is," said Ebenezer angrily. "There is nothing as hard as being poor. But the second a man wants to find wealth, people criticize him and call him greedy."
"You fear the world too much,"
Belle said gently.
"All your hopes and dreams have died, except for the dream of money and success. What are you afraid of, Ebenezer? You do not talk to me, the way you used to.
I don't know what you're talking about, said Ebenezer. Even if I do think about money a little more, who cares? Money is important. Besides, I have not changed towards you. Belle shook her head sadly.
Ebenezer, when we met, we were young. We became engaged to be married when we were poor, and happy to be poor. We planned to improve our life slowly, through hard work, but we wanted to live in happiness also. Now, you are changed. You are not the man you once were.
Oh, Belle, I was a stupid boy then, Ebenezer said loudly.
You know that your feelings for me have changed. You are different now,
she said slowly.
But I have not changed. When you and I were one in our hearts, I believed that our life together would be good. But now we are two people. I do not know you any more. So you do not have to marry me.
Have I ever told you I didn't want to marry you? Asked Ebenezer.
No, never,
said the young woman. Then why are you saying all this, Belle? What is the matter with you? Said Ebenezer.
Ebenezer, you must face the truth,
Belle said, staring at him.
Your nature has changed, and your life is different. All you do is work and think about money. All the thoughts, ideas, and feelings that you used to have are gone now. Tell me, Ebenezer,
she said,
if we had not been engaged from a young age, and you met me now, would you want to marry me? I do not think so.
Young Ebenezer did not say anything for a moment. He seemed to admit to himself that she was right. But he only said, You don't think so?
I wish I could believe that you still loved me,
Belle said.
But I have seen the truth, and I cannot deny it. You don't love me now, Ebenezer. You know you don't. If you were free, you would never choose a poor girl like me to be your wife. I have heard you talk, and your own gain is the most important thing in your life. Or, even if you did marry me, you would regret it terribly. So, Ebenezer, we are no longer engaged. I do this because I love you. I love the man you once were.
Ebenezer was about to speak, but she turned her head away from him and continued speaking.
When I think of the past, I almost hope that you will feel pain at our separation. But I believe that you will only think of me a little. Then you will dismiss this part of your life as a dream. You will be happy that you woke up. Well, Ebenezer, I hope you will be happy in the life that you have chosen.
Then Belle turned and walked out of the room. Young Ebenezer was alone. Old Scrooge felt as if a knife was cutting his heart.
Please, old ghost, he cried. Do not show me any more of the past. Take me home. Why do you enjoy making me miserable?
One thing more, before I leave you, said the ghost.
The scene changed again. Scrooge and the ghost were in another place and time. They were in a small but comfortable and warm room, and it was winter. A beautiful young girl sat next to the fire. At first, Scrooge thought that it was Belle, but it was not. Instead, it was Belle's daughter. Scrooge saw that Belle was sitting next to her daughter by the fire. She was a little older now, but still beautiful. Scrooge could hear the noise of other children in the room. There were many children, and they all laughed and played loudly. Instead of being angry, however, the mother and daughter enjoyed the noisy children and laughed at their games. Belle's oldest daughter went to play with her brothers and sisters. Scrooge had never seen such a beautiful young girl. She looked just like Belle when Belle was young. Soon they heard a knock at the door. The children held their older sister's hands and dragged her over to their father, who had just come home. A man was with him, and his arms were full of Christmas toys and gifts. The delivery man was attacked by the happy children, who reached into his pockets, grabbed all the gifts, put their arms around his neck, and kicked his legs excitedly. The children, of course, were very happy to receive their presents. Everyone had a terrible shock when Belle caught the baby putting a doll's toy into his mouth. Had the baby swallowed the little object? No, the toy was rescued just in time. There was much joy and laughter in that room on that Christmas evening. But soon the little children grew tired and each went up to bed. What a wonderful day it had been! Scrooge watched as Belle put the baby to bed. She went downstairs and sat next to the fire. Her husband was there, and their oldest daughter was sitting with him. "I saw a friend of yours today, Belle," said her husband.
"Who was it?"
Belle asked. "Guess," said her husband.
"I can't guess,"
said Belle, laughing.
"Oh, all right, Mr. Scrooge."
"That's right, my dear," cried the husband. "I passed his office and saw him through the window, working. Why is he working on Christmas? I think Mr. Scrooge is alone in this world."
"Ghost of Christmas Past, take me away from this place," cried Scrooge in a sad voice. He felt that his heart was breaking. "I told you that I would show you your past. This is what it is. Do not blame me if you are unhappy," said the ghost.
"Take me away," said Scrooge. "I can't stand it any more."
He saw the ghost looking at him. Somehow, it seemed to Scrooge that in the ghost's face, he saw all the faces of his past. The light from the ghost's head was brighter than ever.
"Leave me alone. Take me back to my house," cried Scrooge.
Suddenly he saw the ghost's cap in his hand. He suddenly felt that he had to put out the ghost's light. It seemed as if he could not stop looking at it. Scrooge grabbed the cap and put it over the ghost's head. The ghost did not try to stop him. The ghost's body seemed to disappear. But no matter how hard Scrooge pushed the cap down, the bright light remained. Suddenly, everything went dark. Scrooge realized that he was in his own room again, lying on the cold ground. The ghost of Christmas Past was gone. Scrooge stood up and realized how tired and weak he was. He felt as though he had just fought a great battle. He was terribly sleepy as well. He climbed into his bed and fell into a deep sleep immediately.